Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast for September 6th, 2020. We will be in Exodus 33, verses 12 to 23. If you would like to follow along, you can go to www.gracebaptistchurchnc.org, click the sermons link at the top, and choose today's manuscript. Here's Pastor John.
Titled the sermon, Please Show Me Your Glory. And so before we begin, let me read the passage, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get started. Exodus 33, verses 12 to 23. Moses said to the Lord, See, you say to me, Bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name. And you have also found favor in my sight. That just makes me think even now of the verse that even we read in John 16. Whom will you send? I will go away and I will send. That's such a picture there. Verse 13. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I might know or that I might know you in order to find favor in your sight. Again, it appears to me Moses wants to know God, that I might know you. And then consider, too, that this nation is your people. And he said, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct? I and your people from every other people on the face of the earth. There is the presence of God going with his people. That's what makes God's people distinct. Verse 17. The Lord said to Moses, This very thing that you have spoken, I will do. For you have found favor, or grace. You have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, Please show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for these words, some of the most beautiful words in all of the Bible. And we pray that through these words, as we take the Lord's Supper today, that Christ would be more beautiful, that we would see Him by the Spirit, through your word, and you would give us great grace as we worship, as we take the Lord's Supper this morning. I pray that Jesus would increase, that we would decrease. Pray that in spite of me, you would work. And we just put this time into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before I say anything else, can y'all hear me well in the back there, Blaine? I don't think so today. Turn me up a little bit, Hunter. How's that? Is that getting a little bit better now? I can tell it's a little bit louder. All right. Cool. Thank you. Please show me your glory. These are the words of Moses in verse 18. The context, let's move back to the context a little bit before we start, though, what's going on at that time. Moses is leading the people of Israel into the promised land. Chapter 32, we see Moses up on the mountain, Mount Sinai. God is speaking with him. He's up there many, many days. And then he's there by himself. God is giving him his laws, his commandments, his instructions, which we find written in the first five books of the law here. And so while he is there, we read, let me go back to chapter 32, if you will, turn back over a page, verse 1. And here's what's happening. When the people saw that Moses delayed from coming down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron, and they said to him, to Aaron, "Up, make us gods, who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." I always find that so interesting to see how quickly God's people there can move away. And we tend to get on to them, but we often do the same thing very quickly. But anyway, they're upset because Moses is up on the mountain and they don't know what to do. And so they say, "Aaron, make us some gods that we may worship." So God says to Moses, "Go down, for your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." It's interesting God says your people, because he's associating Moses also. He's separating them, but we'll see that Moses is very much like them as a sinner. But he says, "They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. And they have made for themselves a golden calf, and they worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are our gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" Then God says to Moses, "I will destroy this people and make another nation from you." And then what does Moses do? Moses pleads with God and he says, "Do not destroy this people," which, by the way, is another picture of Christ who intercedes and pleads. He doesn't plead anymore, but he intercedes with the Father. And then what does God do? In his grace, he listens. And he listens to Moses' intercession. However, even at that time, Moses instructs some of the Levites there to strap on their swords. And they say, the Bible tells us that 3,000 people are killed at that time. There was great judgment. And then after that, there was a plague. And we're not told here in this passage, but it was pretty bad and many were killed. And so that's what was going on at that time. And then Moses comes down and the wrath of God is averted for the time being. And then in the meantime, Moses continues to speak with God. And what Moses does is he goes outside the camp, away from the people, and he pitches a tent. He sets up a tent, and there he goes, and God speaks to Moses alone. And when Moses goes out of the tent, the people, they get up from their tents also, and they stand and they watch from where they're at, and they see what's going on. And they watch from a distance as the pillar of cloud descends upon that tent. And I can imagine all the emotions and all the curiosity and all the excitement and all the great fear that fell upon the people every time the Lord came down and spoke with Moses at that tent of meeting. I think of Genesis 3, verse 8, after the fall of Adam, when he heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And he and his wife Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Now, as Moses considers the sins of the people, and I would say as he notices his own sin, he is concerned about what is coming, to say the least. He is concerned about God taking his presence away and not going with them into the promised land. He says in chapter 33, verse 15, "If your presence does not go with us, are with me. Do not bring us down from here. Let us be right here. And then he says in verse 16, for how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? Brothers and sisters, it is very important how we live, how we act, what we do in this world, even as we're studying James right now, because faith without works is dead. But the world also does many great works and many good works. But the difference between the world and us, those who are in Christ, is the presence of God. Nothing has changed from this very important worldview, truth, whatever you want to call it in the Bible. From Adam to Noah to Abraham to Moses to David to Solomon to us. God is with us. And if God is not with us, if God is not with you, we are doomed. So let me continue the story with that in mind. Look at verse 17. The Lord said to Moses, what grace we see here. This very thing that you have spoken, I will do, for you have found favor in my sight. There you go, Scott, but by the grace of God. And I know you by name. Now, notice here quickly that it isn't the people so much who find favor in this context. It is Moses, one person, one representative, and through the favor of Moses as their representative, then the people also find favor. Does that sound familiar? The Lord Jesus Christ. Even going back to Adam, as sin entered the fall, sin comes down to us. We are by nature and by choice sinners. And He is our Father, our representative, and then the second Adam, Christ, He is our representative. And so keep that thought even as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper. So at this point in the story, Moses asks in verse 18, and here's where I get the sermon title, please show me your glory. So let's think about this glory for just a few minutes. And let's ask the question, what was Moses asking for? This is very, very important for us. What was Moses asking for? For Moses, he had already seen God's glory, had he not? He saw, if you remember back, he saw the glory of God at the burning bush. He saw the glory of God on Mount Sinai. He saw the glory of God as the pillar of cloud came down on the tent. He saw the glory of God in the miraculous plagues that were sent upon Egypt. The Bible tells us that was God's glory shown. He saw the glory of God in the parting of the Red Sea. He saw the glory of God in the manna that came down from heaven, because in Exodus 16:6, here's what we read about the manna. It says, at evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord. That's the manna. Because he had heard your grumbling against the Lord, because they were concerned about their next meal. And God said, you will see my glory as the manna comes down. Over and over and over in the Bible, we see the glory of the Lord displayed in his powerful acts. We go back to Noah. Noah and his family saw the glory of God when God shut the door to the ark and the rain came and everyone was destroyed. Abraham saw the glory of God in a vision when God promised to bless him and his descendants. Jacob, what did he do? He had a wrestling match, didn't he? We say, I wrestled with God and prevailed. He saw his glory there. King Solomon saw the glory of God come down upon the temple after the big temple was built, and Solomon prayed and the glory came down upon the temple. Isaiah, do you remember Isaiah 6? I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And then even in that vision, even as we sung this morning, the seraphim cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So we could go on and on and on and point out the glory of God through the Old Testament. But we don't have enough time for all that. So back to my question. So what did Moses want to see if he had seen all those things? Well, look back in verse 10. We see that God's presence is in the pillar of cloud at the entrance of the tent. We've already mentioned that. Well, wasn't this pillar of cloud the glory of God? Of course it was His glory. It's very clear. Exodus 24, verse 16, we read, "The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days." So let me ask, what did Moses want to see? Well, in order to answer this question, which is what we're going to do the rest of our time, let's keep reading through this passage and see if we can get an answer from God. Verse 18, look there with me. Moses says, "Please show me your glory." And then in verse 19, God says this, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." Now, there's a lot here, and I will not comment today or do an exegetical sermon like I was talking with Gil this morning I would like to do here, but notice that God says He will pass by. He will pass by. Keep that in mind as we keep going. And as God passes by, He proclaims His name. He tells Moses about His character. He says, "I am a God of grace. I am a God of mercy. I will do as I please." And even says there that His name is goodness. And He proclaims all of this before Moses. And then as God considers what He is about to do for Moses, then He says, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." As righteous and as humble as Moses was, he was still sinful. He was still a sinful man. He could not look upon God and live. Brothers and sisters, in our sin, we cannot look upon God and live, for God is holy. And then, look at verse 21. God says, "Here's what I'm going to do. Behold," and that's a great word in the Bible. "Look here, this is something wonderful I'm about to do. Behold, there's a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock, a hole in the rock there. And I will cover you with my hand." That's very interesting to me because God is spirit, doesn't have hands as we do, but with His hand. I think that's putting it in language that we might be able to understand. But He said, "I will cover you, Moses, with my hand until I have passed by, till my glory has passed by. Then I will take my hand away and you shall see my back." Again, God doesn't have a back. In His essence, He does not. "But my face shall not be seen." Wow. With these words, I think Moses knew that he had only before witnessed the glory of God in His power and His presence in a very limited way. Even as great as the waters coming away from each other as they walk through, even as the 10 plagues, even as the burning bush, even in the coming down of the pillar of cloud, I believe that Moses knew that he fell way short of seeing God in who He really was, in His essence, in His holiness, in His person. For God is spirit, John 4:4. And God's presence on the in the bush, on the mountain, in the tent, they were only snapshots of a likeness of God. I think we are safe to say that Moses wanted to see more. He wanted to see all of the glory of God. And I don't know exactly what Moses saw. We don't. In God's back. You may know, love for you to come up and talk to me about that sometime. We don't know, but he did not see God in all of His glory. Or he could not, because he could not live. No sinner can see all of His glory as sinners. But what a sight it must have been that Moses had there. But you know what? This sight was just for a moment. God passed by. Think about that. God just passed by. The glory then was gone again. If we think back to the Old Testament and all of the appearances of the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, all of the clouds and all of the fires, all of the dreams, all of the visions, all of those were temporary. God merely passed by. In all of these cases, God's precious people are longing to see God do this again. They were longing and waiting. God, show me your glory. Do this again. Do this again. Do this again. They didn't want him to leave in the ways that he was showing himself. They didn't want him to leave the mountain or to leave the tent or to take away the pillar of cloud or the glorious fire that protected them. They are always looking forward to another time, another place, and by faith they are looking forward to a time of permanence when God does not just merely pass by again. No longer do they have to be hidden in the cleft of a rock. Brothers and sisters, today we partake in the most beautiful meal together, the Lord's Supper. And it's been a while. It's been since first Sunday in March, I believe, since we've had the Lord's Supper. It's normally we do this every month. And so starting today and then next month, we're going to resume that. We're going to do it a little bit different today, but it is the most beautiful drama of the glory of God. We eat real bread, although these are a little different. We're not getting Miss Gunther cooking it as we normally do, but it's still edible, okay? And it's still real. And in a little bit, it will nourish your body. And we still have real juice, and we live out this most beautiful drama. And one of the pictures of this meal is this. God does not merely pass by us. And that is the best news. He did not hide us back in the corner of the gym as He passes by the front of the gym. He did not hide us. He does not hide us in a rock or put us in a hole to where we can just see His backside. He did not come and show Himself to us in a small way and then leave again. He didn't come in the front door and go out the back door as we are doing now during the COVID. He is with us. He does not pass by. This is God who is with us, Emmanuel. He is with us how? He's with us in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1 verse 14. We think about how He is with us. John begins his letter right from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Very clearly. But if you move down to that first chapter, to chapter 1 verse 14, and the Word became flesh. He didn't just merely pass by, brothers and sisters. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His what? Glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Son of God took on our flesh. It wasn't just an appearance. He took on flesh. And He says to His disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen who? The Father. John 14, 9. And He didn't merely pass by. He didn't come in the front door and go out the back door. John says that He built His tent and set it up in the campground of human sin. That's us. How much have we sinned this week? How many times have we been impatient with our spouse or our children or thought an evil thought or looked at a woman or a man in the wrong way, or done something to hurt ourselves or our neighbor. In all of these ways, we have sinned, brothers and sisters, this week. And so Jesus came and dwelt among us in the campground of human sin. He was born, He lived, He ate, He drank, He spoke, He spent time with His friends and His disciples, and He did not sin, not one time. In His heart and in His actions, He did not sin. He did not have a sin nature as we do. And then what did He do? He laid down His life as a sacrifice, a substitute sacrifice in the place of sinners. And we remember this truth as we take the Lord's Supper, as we will read in a moment. This is my body broken for you. If our sins, if by faith and repentance we look unto Christ, our sins have been cast upon Him. And on the cross, our sin was judged. And you know what He gave us? We give Him all of our sin. And you can think about them. And it is a time, even at the Lord's Supper, even to examine ourselves as we think about our sins. But we've laid them upon Christ. And you know what He does in return? He takes the wrath and justice and punishment of God upon Himself, and then He gives us, puts it into our bank account. He gives us His righteousness. This is my body broken for you. And then, when we think about His death, after He died, He rose again. He conquered death, and we also have conquered death. One day we will be with Him, and we will rise again with Him. But then after He rose from the dead, He ascended back to the Father, where He sits at His right hand, now reigning from heaven until all of His enemies become His footstool. And you might say, well, He still just passed by. But after what we have read and what we know better than that. His presence is permanently with us through the power of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That is what He has done. He did not pass by. And so this means that if you are a Christian, let me spell that out a little bit better. If by faith and repentance you look unto Christ, you say, God, I am a sinner and I am lost and I cannot be saved on my own works. And by faith, I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and I look upon Him by faith. That's what it is. That's what we profess. That's what we do. And that's what we do always as Christians. We don't just walk an aisle one time. We always, in repentance and faith, look unto Christ. And so if you are doing that this morning, then I would invite you in a moment to take the Lord's Supper if you are a Christian. And if you are a Christian today, your sins are forgiven because you see the glory of God where? If you know your Bible a little bit, in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 4. Brothers and sisters, we look no further. We're not waiting as the Old Testament saints did for that next time that God will show Himself. We're not waiting for the next dream or the next vision or the next miracle or the next appearance of glory. We behold Him now in the face of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that compares to such glory. Brothers and sisters, what Moses desired to see so greatly, we now behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Show me your glory. And so as we take the Lord's Supper, that's what we're saying too. We're saying, God, you are with us by the Spirit in Christ because of His death, His person, His death, His resurrection, and His ascension. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you did not pass by us. That in Christ we have your fullness. and you've given us the Holy Spirit. I cannot imagine Moses. I can imagine from one perspective him wanting to see all of you and to know. And I know that he was looking forward, and those people were looking forward to the Messiah who would come one day. Though they didn't understand everything and how it would take place, they knew that your plan, right from the beginning, even from Genesis 3:15, your promise to crush the head of the serpent, Father, was your plan to send the Lord Jesus Christ in his death and what he accomplished on the cross for us. So, Father, we remember his death, and we remember these words. You did not merely pass by. May Christ be more beautiful to us as we think about these words today and as we drink and eat these elements, knowing that Jesus is with us now, and you did not merely pass by. Pray that you would give us grace as we think about these words. May your Holy Spirit work in such a way that Christ be more beautiful to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Baptist Church podcast. You can listen to past sermons at podbean.com. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove to find us. You can also join us at the South Rowan YMCA, 950 Kimball Road in China Grove, North Carolina. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. for fellowship, and service starts at 10. Thank you for listening, and remember to be intentional in making disciples this week.